Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to spend these next few minutes together with me. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message I've entitled Waters of the Spirit, and we haven't really gotten into the message yet, but I've just been sharing and reading the passages of Scripture found in 2 Kings, the third chapter, that describe a historical incident in the life of Israel, Judah and Israel. And the important thing is that we not just read it out of biblical duty, but that we try to glean an understanding of what significance, what lessons can be learned for our own lives. God is very practical, and the New Testament tells us that these examples, these lessons that we see recorded, for example, in the Old Testament, and of course, as well as in the New, are examples for us. They're lessons in faith. They dramatize God's interaction with His people, and there's no holds barred. I mean, whether they're obedient, whether they're disobedient, it shows God's will, His way, and His solutions to the problems that His people face. And so there's much value, even sometimes we have to dig for it, but there is revelation and application for our own lives. So I'm not going to read, but let me just kind of recap what I shared yesterday, reading in the first verse of chapter 3 of 2 Kings. And it's talking about three kings. At this point, Jehoram is the king of Israel. He was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not worship Baal, but he continued the idolatry of a king of Israel named Jeroboam, who, you know, his epithet is who caused Israel to sin. He established worship of false gods in the north and south of Israel because he did not want the people departing from him and going back to Jerusalem to worship. So at this point in time, we see that he goes to the king of Israel, to Judah, to Jehoshaphat. And the reason he goes there is because he had a tribute being paid to him by the king of Moab. And Moab, when his father died, when Ahab died, then he used that as an opportunity to get out of paying this tribute of 100,000 lambs and rams with the wool to him. And so Jehoram wants to do something about that. He goes to the king Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, sure, absolutely, I'll go with you to war. And they go through the way of Edom, and they also commandeer the resources and the military strength of the king of Edom. And so they go 7 days. Now they've got a problem because there is no water, none for the men and none for the cattle. And of course, in that wilderness area, water was a matter of life and death. And so Jehoshaphat, verse 11, he says, is there a prophet that we can call? And someone says, yes, there's Elisha, who was basically the disciple of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat feels excellent about that. He said, oh yes, well, the word of the Lord is with that prophet. And so when Elisha comes, he does not give a very warm welcome to Jehoram. And in fact, he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you. But now let's pick up in the reading at verse 15. Elisha says, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by way of Edom. It doesn't say how it came there, but water came, and the country, that entire valley, was filled with water. So that's as much as I'm going to share in the scripture right now. And let's start to look at what God would be telling us. What are the lessons here? Obviously, there was an amazing miracle. Not only was there a defeat of the Moabite enemy, but there was supernatural provision of water. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we ask for your anointing, not only in the delivery of the word, but that our hearts, our ears would be open to receive what you have personally for us. God, every word of scripture is anointed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, Lord, as needed. And so, Father, thank you for your anointing on your word, that we can understand and apply the truths and the principles to our own personal lives. All right, beloved. As I shared when we began, there was a scripture that Jesus spoke, recorded in John, the 7th chapter, and he said, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And we know in the scripture that water is representative of the Holy Spirit. And he specifically, there was a parenthesis in John after he quotes the words of Jesus, and he said this was for regarding the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which had not been given yet because Jesus had not been glorified. And so praise God for that great gift of the Holy Spirit to his church, to the believers in his fullness, and that was on the day of Pentecost. So let's just recap. Let's look at what's going on. As we begin reading these verses, we find the king of Moab rebelling against the king of Israel, Jehoram. He refused to pay his tax of 100,000 lambs and rams to Jehoram, who was the son of Ahab. And because of this rebellion, the king of Judah, the king of Israel, and the king of Edom form an alliance against Moab. And as we look at these scriptures, we can discover, beloved, a number of beautiful truths that can be significant for us in our Christian walk. Now, in verse 9, so far so good. You know, they went on the journey to prepare for battle. And then it says in verse 9, there was a real problem. There was no water. And there was, so this was a very great need in that day. The number of the men and the cattle which followed these three kings was staggering. It was a huge army. The army was thoroughly equipped. It had all the weapons that it needed, the proper armor, the swords, the spears, everything this army needed, it had. Yet, for all of its might, for all of its strength, this mighty army, this confederacy of three kings and nations, was powerless. They were doomed to defeat. And what was the need? They had no water. And so I believe we can make a parallel, we can make an application to the church today. We have, not in every case, of course, there are wonderful on-fire pastors and churches that are allowing the Holy Spirit to move, but in the natural, we've been equipped with the latest equipment. In our seminaries, we have advanced technology. We have learned things from and about the Bible that our forefathers never knew. Excuse me. There are new discoveries in archaeology over the years that have confirmed the word, and our knowledge of biblical times, of history, biblical history, has increased dramatically. And we have filled pulpits with people who have achieved great stature in learning and techniques to present their message to the people. We have people that are versed in seminaries. They know Hebrew, they know Greek, they know Aramaic, and they have the educational abilities and facility to be able to really expound the Word of God. But beloved, they're lacking the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking generally now, but beloved, I think you may agree with me that the church today is not filled with the power that the early church had. We don't see the signs and the wonders in this country. Christians are praying for revival in this nation. We need to. I encourage you to pray. But in order to have revival, we have to have the moving of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And so while there are many millions in this mighty army of God, in many respects, so many are powerless. And we see this, verse 9, a picture of too many churches. They're thoroughly organized, they're fully equipped with all the means for warfare, but they're utterly helpless because there is no water. There's no flowing of God's Holy Spirit. There's no refreshing water for the thirsty soldiers of the cross. And beloved, we need the power of God. We need the moving of the Spirit of God, not only in the corporate body of Christ, within the churches. Many of them are just dead tombs. They have a form of godliness. They deny the power of God. And we need it, beloved, as never before in our individual lives. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I fast for, that we can see revival in our lives. I pray every day for my radio family, for the UCM partners, that we can be able to lay hold, to get a glimpse of the glory that is to be revealed in us. From glory to glory, He's changing you and I, beloved. Well, my time is gone, and I'm just getting started in the message, but I pray with the Lord's help you will be able to join me as we continue on in tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, I do invite you, if you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. Take that little bit of effort. If the Holy Spirit's moving on you, He has a reason. So respond in obedience, and you will understand why you did. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.